wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It is time now on the Weekend Morning Show for Abandoned Manitoba. Local historian Gordon Goldsboro joins us now. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Marjorie.
I want to first start off by saying congratulations on the Order of Manitoba.
Oh, thank you.
How does it feel?
Shocking, surprising.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss for words, to be honest.
Well, I think it's very well deserved. Of course, we enjoy having you here every week on the Weekend Morning Show. And congratulations again.
I enjoy being here.
Yeah. Well, you left us with a clue from last week. Remind us about that.
Yes. I said that I'm fascinated when you find usual things in an unusual setting, because it usually means there's an interesting story that explains their presence. And so this week, we're going to visit Brandon's Coronation Park to discuss what looks like several gravestones.
How did you find out about these?
I was contacted by a Brandon resident who noticed them while he was walking in the park. He sent me some photos, and I had to agree, they certainly looked like gravestones. They were stones with people's names carved into them. Well, my first step was I contacted my good friend Tom Mitchell. He's a historian in Brandon, and he did provide a few clues, but ultimately I felt that it really required a visit to see them for myself. So I was actually in Brandon last Saturday to have a look at those apparent gravestones.
And Gordon, what did you find?
Well, I parked alongside Coronation Park, and my eye was drawn immediately to numerous massive trees that are distributed throughout the park, especially several mature spruces that are kind of in a row at the southeast corner. So I walked over to them, and there I found the stones, each of them buried to sort of ground level, each one in front of a tree.
What did the stones look like?
Each stone, and by the way, it looked kind of like white marble to my uneducated eye, was about 12 inches long and about 6 inches wide, and it appeared to be embedded in a small concrete pad in the ground. There were three of these stones in front of three trees, but there were also two other pieces of concrete where it looked to me like there used to be stones there that had been removed at some point. One of the stones was very badly broken, but you could kind of make out a name that was J.A. Young. A second stone said G.R. Coldwell. And the third stone said Canadian Legion 1937. And I think that third one was what gave the clue for me as to the origins of these stones.
What is that clue?
Well, I think the stone gives the date when they were all installed, because basically the style of the three stones is nearly identical. So I think they were put in all at the same time. And 1937 was the coronation year of King George VI. And of course, he's the father of our present queen. And I think this is why Coronation Park has that name. Prior to 1937, it wasn't called Coronation Park. It was actually called Jubilee Park. And it was a fairly humble place, because I found descriptions of it in the newspaper as nothing more than a patch of weeds. So they clearly spruced up the park and say they renamed it Coronation Park in honor of the coronation of King George VI. There is actually a fieldstone cairn not far from these three stones, and it has a plaque on its side that said it was unveiled at a ceremony on the 12th of May, 1937. Of course, that day should ring a bell with listeners. 12th of May, of course, is Manitoba Day. But in that year, 1937, it was also Coronation Day. And I think that date gave me a starting place to search the historical newspapers for additional details.
What did you find?
Well, I found that on the 12th of May, 1937, the city of Brandon hosted a whole day of festivities to celebrate the coronation of the new king. They had a parade, and I think one of the noteworthy things is they had a planting ceremony of what they called coronation trees at four sites around Brandon. Two of them are schools, David Livingston School and McLaren School. Two of them are parks, Rideau Park and Coronation Park.
What are coronation trees?
Well, around the British Empire, people were encouraged to plant trees as a long-term reminder about the king's coronation. it was not necessarily one specific species. You know, they, obviously, because the British Empire was far flung, they couldn't find one particular tree that would grow in all of those different places. Rather, it was a species that would grow well in whatever climate prevailed, you know, wherever it was planted. So apparently here in Canada, the coronation tree was something called a blue spruce, sometimes also called a Colorado spruce. It's a tree that is native to Western North America. It does occur in Alberta and British Columbia, but it's not native here in Manitoba. The newspapers, those historical newspapers, said that the trees were, and this is a quote, marked by a marble slab inscribed Coronation Tree, May 12, 1937. So, of course, what that means then is if they were planted that year, that's been 84 years since they were planted. They would presumably be big trees by now.
Mm-hmm. Are those trees still there?
Well, Tom Mitchell tells me that he tried, unfortunately, unsuccessfully, to find the four coronation trees. The one at David Livingston School is gone. The school itself is gone, too. It was demolished in 1959, and there's no blue spruces at its former site. McLaren School, it's still around. It's not a school anymore. It was closed in 1976, and it was turned into offices for the Brandon School Division. But again, no blue spruces can be found anywhere nearby. I looked at Rideau Park, and it does contain a few conifers, but nothing large enough to be consistent with what I would expect an 84-year-old tree to look like. None of the spruces in Coronation Park has the requisite plaque, but I suspect one of them might be the tree because it certainly is large enough. But say no plaque, we'll probably never know. But the five plaques for the other blue spruces in Coronation Park, well, they're still a little mysterious because they didn't really talk about that in this article. They talked about the coronation tree, not trees with people's names.
Mm-hmm. So who planted the trees?
Well, a little more digging in historical newspapers turned up a project that was led by an organization called the Brandon Horticultural Society. And what they did was they essentially encouraged Brandonites to donate money to purchase additional blue spruces, and then they could place a marble tablet at the base of the tree as a memorial to relatives or friends. So in other words, the names on the plaques presumably were, you know, say close friends or dear family members who presumably had died, and they just wanted to have an ongoing remembrance of them. So that was the project. The city fire hall, they announced that they were going to help. So the city firefighters volunteered their time when they were off duty to dig holes for the trees. The trees were planted over the first 2 weeks of May prior to that ceremony that happened on the 12th, where in addition to unveiling the cairn, unveiling these trees, they also had a performance by the Salvation Army Band. They had girl guides who sang a song called The Tree Song, and a young man recited a poem called Trees.
Hmm. Now, you said before that there are names on two of the stones, Young and Coldwell. Who are they?
I searched burial records in the Brandon Cemetery, but I found nobody named J.A. Young. It's possible they're buried somewhere else. You know, I can't find them. But I had more luck with the Coldwell stone. It turns out G.R. Coldwell, George Coldwell, was one of the first lawyers in Brandon. And actually, he served as the city's MLA from 1907 to 1915. And he held actually a couple of very prominent portfolios in the cabinet of Premier Rodmond Roblin up to 1915. And unfortunately, his political career came to a rather sudden end in the scandal that surrounded the provincial legislature construction in 1915. George Coldwell died in 1924 under a bit of a cloud, but I presume that somebody wished to perpetuate his memory, and so they endowed this blue spruce in his memory.
Do we know what other stones were unveiled?
We don't, unfortunately. If you do a count of the number of blue spruces in Coronation Park, it's a little over 20. And whether it's coincidental or not, I found a report by the Brandon Parks Board in mid-1937 that it had planted 22 blue spruces in Coronation Park. So I would guess that that may correspond to how many of these memorial stones there were. Now, again, there's only five of them visible today, so the majority of them are gone. And in terms of for whom those other monuments were made. I don't think we're ever going to know. They've been lost. There was a story I came across that said there was a potentially a list of them at Daly House Museum. I contacted the folks at the museum. No, they had no awareness of such a list. So I have a feeling we're probably never going to know.
What lesson do you think, Gordon, we can take away from this story?
I think it illustrates a couple of things. First, it shows the reverence in which Manitobans held the monarchy at that time, that they would go to these lengths for the crowning of a new king. I'm going to be interested to see what's done to commemorate the coronation of Canada's next monarch, probably within the next 10 years or so. The second thing that this example shows is that commemorations that were intended to be permanent, you know, involving marble tablets and long-lived trees, well, frequently end up being not so permanent if efforts are not made to preserve them, as seems to have happened here. And I would make a suggestion to Brandonites that perhaps they might consider another name change for Coronation Park. Remember, it used to be Jubilee Park. Mm-hmm. It was renamed in 1937 to be a Coronation Park. Given that the park is dominated by these magnificent trees, you know, and even if we don't know for whom they were planted, why not rename it Memorial Park?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good name. Now, Gordon, what's up for next week?
Well, when we talk about the history of agriculture in Manitoba, we often refer to quarter sections of land, that is, parcels of about 160 acres. We don't usually think in terms of thousands of acres of ranch land that were more typical of places like Alberta. Yet, in the 1880s, one such vast ranch was established here in Manitoba. Next week, its story.
Gordon, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Marjorie.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.